thank the Lord for his presence this morning. Bless his name. Ladies, if you'll have a song. Brother John, it's good to have you this morning. What God's brought you through is a blessing to me. Thank you for being here. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to Daniel chapter number 10. Daniel chapter number 10. Daniel chapter number 10. Verse number 1, Daniel chapter number 10, the Bible says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true. But the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and an understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till three whole weeks were filled. And in the 4th and 20th day of the first month, I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz, and his body like the beryl, and the face as appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like the color of polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned into corruption, and I retained no strength. And I heard the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face and my face toward the ground. Verse 10, the Bible says, and behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hand. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright. For unto thee I am now sent. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Father, we want to thank you this morning for the opportunity to be assembled in the house of God. Thank you, Father, that we can come and to pray and to praise and to assemble together, and thank you for your goodness and for all that you've done for us. We thank you for the word of God. And I pray now, Father, you'd bless the reading of your word. Have your way, have your will this morning. Stir our hearts, speak to your people. I pray, God, you'd edify the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. We see Daniel here. He's at a time in his life where he is up in age. And we know more about Daniel and Daniel's life than we do to any other prophet in the Old Testament. Daniel, he gives us a personal account of his life from the time that he's carried into Babylon until God's children are released to go back to Jerusalem. Daniel's life and Daniel's ministry, it bridges the entire 70 years that God's children were in bondage. We find that Daniel in chapter number 1, he's a young man. He's in his teens. He's serving God. He's consecrated. He's set apart for God's use. And when we come here to chapter 10, 11, and 12, Daniel's well into his 90s. He's walked with God, and he's carried on for God all these many, many years. Danny, Daniel, we find that he not only earns favor with men in a pagan world in Babylon, but Daniel earns favor with God. You say, oh, what was so special about Daniel? Why did God view Daniel in such a high esteem? Notice in our text in chapter 10, verse 11, this was God's estimate of Daniel. He said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. If we could just say, you know, it would be our prayer this morning that our Savior, our Lord, our God could look at us as individuals and say, thou art greatly beloved. You say, why was Daniel a man that was so greatly beloved of God? I see, number one, Daniel had a purpose in his life. Daniel's life was full of purpose. Early on in his life, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with paganism. He would not defile himself with idolatry. And he would not defile himself with pride. And we find Daniel was a man of purpose. But not only was Daniel a man of purpose, Daniel was a man of prayer. His entire life, Daniel prayed. Every decision, every step, every mountain and every valley that Daniel faced, it was paved with prayer. Let me remind you this morning, our Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer and the power of Daniel, it was evident in his life. He was a man of prayer. He was a man of purpose, but I see Daniel was a man of prophecy. God's word, God's revelation was so relevant, it was so important to Daniel his entire life. God's word was practical in Daniel's life. God's word's practical today in our life. God's word was profitable. God's word was going to produce this productive life in a lost and a pagan world. In Luke, we find that Daniel is referred that living in the times of Gentiles. And if you read Daniel and you study the book of Daniel, you'll find that a lot of his prophecy was centered around these Gentile nations. I just want to say this morning, I'm glad we can assemble in a house of God, read God's word, and God bless a bunch of Gentiles like you and I in the book of Daniel. I began to think about Daniel and his life and the purpose and the prayer and the prophecy of Daniel. And may God bless us as we read and preach on this thought in Daniel chapter 10. Philip Bliss, that great songwriter of yesteryear that wrote so many of the songs that we still sing today. Brother Randy, I looked this morning, he wrote the song, Hallelujah, What a Savior. Philip Bliss, he wrote the song, Those Wonderful Words of Life. He wrote the song, Jesus Loves Even Me. He was used of God and he was blessed by God. And in 1876, Philip Bliss was traveling to Ohio with his wife. And it was a cold December night in 1876. And as they crossed a trestle bridge in Ohio, that trestle bridge collapse, sending the train and the rail cars into a steep ravine. They said that 92 of the 159 passengers died in what is now known as the Ashbuhl River Railroad disaster. Philip Bliss survived that great fall. He climbed out of that railroad car. But he noticed his wife was trapped. She was pinned and she was unable to get out of that railroad car. Philip Bliss, this great songwriter, climbs back into the car and as flames engulfed that car, that railroad car, he stood there and held her hand and prayed as those flames engulfed both of them. It was found as they went through Philip's Bliss things there at his house. Just a year or so before that great disaster, he wrote a poem that was later turned into a great hymn. This hymn we teach a lot of our young people. Standing by purpose true, heeding God's command, honor them, the faithful few, all hail to Daniel's band. Many mighty men are lost, daring not to stand, who for God had been a host by joining Daniel's band. Hold the gospel banner high, on to victory grand. Satan and his host defy, and shout for Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, and dare to make it known. I want to preach on the thought this morning, dare to be a Daniel. if we could just dare this morning, only a few of us, only a few of our young people, only a few of our congregants could dare to be a Daniel, God would shake our community and shake our church and shake our children for His honor and His glory. I noticed three things in our text this morning. I see, number one, this time in Daniel's life. In the time in his life. As you read the book of Daniel, you'll notice so many times in Daniel, he gives numbers. He gives orders of events. He gives chronological order and orders and times and numbers. And we see that portrayed in just the first three verses in our text. In verse 1, he says, the third year of King Cyrus. In verse 1, he said the time was long. In verse number 2, we find that there was 3 full weeks. And in verse 3, it says until 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Daniel lists orders. He lists his times. He lists events so often. And we learn in our text that Cyrus has been the king for 3 years. Cyrus, he was the nephew of Darius. Darius, the one that placed and put Daniel into the lion's den. And we find in chapter number 10, it's 533 B.C. Daniel is no longer young. He's no longer in his teens, but he's well approaching 90 years old. He's lived a life in Babylon. He's seen the lights of Babylon. He's seen the prestige of Babylon. He's lived in the fame and the fortune and the wealth of Babylon. He's seen all that Babylon had to offer, and he lived in Babylon. But let me say this, Babylon did not live in him. It's the time of his life. It was an important time in Daniel's life in chapter 10. These last few chapters, chapters 7 through 12, are some of the most captivating and some of the most studied scriptures concerning prophecy. It was an important time in his life. And let me say, it's an important time that we live concerning Christ. This past week, I was doing some yard work and landscape work for a gentleman in Kenmure. That morning, he told me what trees he wanted trimmed and what bushes he wanted trimmed and what debris he wanted removed. And I worked steady, I worked hard, and I worked diligently all day long. And I knew he was going to be back around 5 o'clock. So I looked at my watch, and it was 4:30, and I began to get nervous. I began to say, Gunn, you better clean up this trash. You better rake up the leaves. You better pick up the bushes and the branches that you cut down. And see, I began to get nervous because I knew he'd be home around 5 p.m. God spoke to me, and he said, I wish you were so concerned about my coming as you are this homeowner's. You see, we live in an important time. Jesus Christ, He could return any time. The King is coming. The King is coming. The King is coming. We better hurry. We better pick up the pace. We better spread the gospel. We better spread the news that Jesus Christ still saves. The time in Daniel's life. We see not only the time, but I see number 2, this fame in Daniel's life. Notice verse 1. It says, in the third year of King Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, and the time was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. You say this thing, it was revealed to Daniel. This thing, whatever it was, Daniel understood. This thing, whatever it was, Daniel found it to be true. I looked up the thing. You say, what is the thing, preacher? Well, it's translated the word. It's translated speech or to utter. You see, Daniel understood and he found to be true God's word. He knew that God's word was true. This word was given to Daniel. It was revealed to him and he understood it to be true. We can say the same thing about God's word this morning. We can say the same thing about Daniel, that it was given to men by God. The Bible tells us, for the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but of holy men of God, as they were moved of the Holy Ghost. We can find and we can say this morning that this word is true. We can understand it. We can take it to our heart and understand by the help and the guidance of the Holy Ghost that it's true. true, that it's true, that it's true. This thing, it was revealed to Daniel. He understood it to be true. He understood it to be helpful and practical in his life. And God, this morning, he wants to reveal himself to you in his word. And when he does, I believe without a shadow of a doubt, this morning, God will speak to some of you this morning. He will grab a hold of your heart. He will convict you of that thing. My question is, you know it's true. You understand his word, but what will you do? How will you react? Will you find yourself this morning submitting to God? Will you find yourself around this altar saying, yes, Lord, I'm a candidate? Will you find yourself saying, God, I give it to you, this thing, this word? It was revealed, it was understood, and it was found to be true. We see the time in Daniel's life, the thing in Daniel's life. But thirdly, I want to preach around the trouble in Daniel's life. Notice this trouble in verse number 2. The Bible says, in those days, Daniel was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no present bread. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Daniel is in such a burden. He's carrying such a load. He's in such great distress, such trouble, heartache, such sorrow that he did not eat. He did not drink fruit of the vine. The Bible says he did not anoint himself. Means he didn't wash himself. He didn't bathe himself for 3 full weeks. You say, what was the sorrow of Daniel? What was this trouble Daniel was facing and carrying? You say, what was it, preacher? You see, Cyrus, this king, had liberated God's people. He had let God's people go. They had been in bondage. They had been in captivity. They had been serving this pagan nation. They were free to leave. They were free to go back to Jerusalem. They were free to serve God. Yet, they chose to stay in Babylon. It's estimated that hundreds of thousands into the millions went into captivity, but only 50,000 chose to go back to Jerusalem. This great number, hundreds of thousands, fell in love with Babylon, but only 50,000 still long for Zion. You see, this was the great trouble. This was the sorrow that Daniel was carrying, the burden that Daniel was carrying. They become full of the world. They become saturated of the world. They became consumed of the world with Babylon. They love the world more than they love God. They love Babylon more than they love Jerusalem. They love the pleasures of the world more than the peace of God. They love the trophies of the world more than the treasures of heaven. And this very same thing, I think, is happening in our Baptist churches today. We've become so consumed and saturated with the things of the world, and we fall in love with the things of the world instead of the things of God. We have people, young and old alike, this morning, that's chose to live in captivity and chose to live in bondage and chose to live in rule instead of living a victorious, free Christian life. See, traveling back to Jerusalem was going to take some determination. Traveling those 700 miles was going to take some submitting and some dedication. Traveling through that hot and dry and cold and barren desert lands was going to take some dedication. And friend, if we're going to live a life that pleases God with God's approval, God's hand, God's anointing on our life, in our churches, in our families, it's going to take a thing of submission, of dedication, of determination to God. The sorrow of Daniel. He was troubled. 50,000 out of the hundreds of thousands of millions that went into captivity only chose to go back to Jerusalem. May God help us this morning and burden us as he burdened Daniel, and trouble and stir us as he troubled Daniel for our youth. May he trouble us and burden us for our choir, that they would sing with the power and the anointing of God. Maybe he would burden us and trouble us that from this pulpit that the power of the preaching word of God would be so fervent. Maybe he would trouble us that there in the pews it would be filled with men and women and children that are saved and born again that want to see a move of God. Daniel's trouble, Daniel's sorrow, he mourned for 3 weeks. 21 days he lamented. 21 days he prayed, and it seems like there was no answer. Week 1, he's praying to God. God doesn't answer. Week 2, he prays to God, and it seems like God is not answering. Week 3 goes by, he's praying, and still no answer. 21 days, nothing. 21 days, it's as the heavens are brass, and God is nowhere to be found. All Daniel could do was pray. And when Daniel could not pray through, I want to say Daniel prayed on. This morning, I know there's many of you this morning, the families, you've asked me to pray for you. You're under a great burden, and I pray it's a godly burden, and it seems like your prayers aren't being answered. It seems like your prayers don't go as high as the ceiling. I want to encourage you this morning, if you can't pray through, just keep on praying on. Daniel finds that Satan is a loser. He finds that God is a winner at the end of this chapter, and he finds that prayer always works. It's a sorrow of Daniel. It's the burden of Daniel I see. I believe if there's just a few of us would get under a great burden, God would rend the heavens and he would come down. Evan Roberts was 26 years old. He had been praying from the time he was in his early teens that God would come and move and save his family and save his friends there in Wales. He was a 26-year-old young preacher. And in 1904, God showed up and the Great Welsh Revival broke out. They estimated in just 2 months, some 70,000 people came to know Christ. In 6 months, over 100,000 people on that island in Wales came to know Christ. God was moving. God was helping. God was answering prayers. He was saving souls. He was bringing families back together. And G. Campbell Morgan, that great pastor, that great preacher in the Westminster Church in London, England, he could not believe the report. He could not believe how God was moving. So he sails to Wales, and upon his arrival, I state, one thing is clear. The revival was not the product of someone's personality or another man's preaching or anyone's planning, but of God's gracious response to the prayers of his people. For 21 days, Daniel prayed. For 21 days, the heavens seemed as brass. But notice in verse 12. Then he said unto me, "Fear not, Daniel. From the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." Daniel had a burden. He was praying. God wasn't answering. And now we find, he says, "Fear not, Daniel. From the day you began to pray under this great burden, I heard your words. From the day you began to call upon my name, I've seen your prayer. From the day that you began to call for me, I've seen your burden. And now I am come for thy words." You know, Daniel, he had a burden that God's children were complacent and God's children had no concern and God's children were carefree and they loved Babylon more than Jerusalem. And he was so consumed by that burden, he began to pray. His sorrow, the trouble of Daniel. I see the trouble in Daniel's strength. Notice in verse 17, hasn't ate for 21 days. "For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then came again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, 'Old man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong.' And when he had spoken to me, I was strengthened." Daniel had not ate. 3 weeks he was under a great burden. For 3 weeks he prayed and God appears to him. And Daniel, he realizes that his strength does not come from food or does not come from nutrients or does not come from a beautiful building or a full house, but his strength comes from God. Daniel, he sees this one that appears to him. And Daniel begins to see his weakness. There's two men in the Old Testament, two prophets, two men of God, two preachers, two men that God uses mightily in the New Testament, but he never mentions their sin. Joseph and Daniel. And Daniel, when he sees this one, he realizes he had no power. He realizes he had no vigor. He realizes he could not accomplish the task that God had given him. He prays. There's no strength in Daniel. And the Bible says when God came, he touched Daniel, and it says, he strengthened me. There's never been a time that we lived in that our Baptist churches had so much knowledge, so many programs, so large of bank accounts, so many things and resources at our fingertips, but yet we've lacked so much power. Daniel hadn't ate in 3 weeks. He was deprived of food. He was deprived of nutrients. But let me say this, he was not deprived of God. It worked for Daniel when he was young. It worked for Daniel when he was in chapter 1 in his teens, and now it was still working for Daniel when he's well into his 90s. I began to think in chapter 1, Daniel, he purposed in his heart they would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. He didn't want the stuff that the world had to offer. And God blessed Daniel. God spoke to Daniel. He stood before King Nebuchadnezzar, and the Bible says that among them all, none was found like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You see, God did not bless Daniel because he was smart. God blessed Daniel because he was separated. God did not bless Daniel because he came to church. God did not bless Daniel because he sang in a choir. God did not bless Daniel because he went to Sunday school. But God blessed Daniel because of his walk with his Savior. I began to think of this walk. It wasn't a cool walk, but it was a consecrated walk. It wasn't a walk of strong and strength, but it's a walk of separation. He desired God, and God and God alone strengthened Daniel. If we want to be strengthened this morning, church, young people, if you want to be strengthened and strong in God, all you have to do is walk with him. All you have to do is long to fellowship and commune with the one that saved your soul. Paul said in Philippians, that I may know him. He just wanted to know him. He wanted to know Christ and get that intimate relationship with Christ. He said, I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and being made conformable unto his death. When we die to this world and we walk with God, that's when we'll be strong, strong Christians. Then, verse 18, then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. That's what we need is strength. That's what we need is power. That's what we need is church. Touch me again, Lord. I need thy power. I need your strength in this trying hour. You said if I would ask, Lord, you would surely receive. Touch me again, Lord. That's what we need. We need his touch this morning. Do you desire his touch? Do you desire his power? Do you desire his strength? Why don't you find yourself around this altar and ask him? Plead with him. Walk with him. Tell him, God, you saved me. God, you sealed me. Now fill me with the Holy Ghost. We see the strength of Daniel, the sorrow of Daniel. I see, thirdly, the solitude of Daniel. Let me say this. Not everyone will want this strength. Not everyone among us this morning will desire this walk that Daniel had. Not everyone will dare to be like Daniel. Verse number 6, the Bible says, his body also was like the burl, and the face as appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like the color of polished brass, and his voice of words like the voice of the multitude. Here it is, verse 7, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone. The solitude of Daniel. There'll be a few here this morning. A few of our young people. a few of our congregants that will want to serve God and walk with God. But it may be a life of solitude. It may be a life that you find that not everyone wants to walk with. He saw it alone. Pastor, I was reading this, and you maybe can give us some insight. There was the commentators greater than I. Some said this was Christ, and because the appearance was like the appearance that John saw in Revelation. And some say it was Gabriel. I believe it was probably this high angel, because we find that this one that appeared to Daniel contended with Satan. It says that he came and he warred with the prince of the Persia air, which is Satan. And I don't think Christ needs help, but whoever this may be, whoever this one appeared to Daniel, it was not manufactured. It was real. Daniel saw it and no one else saw it, because Daniel desired to see God. Why is it so many times that when God moves on a service, only a few seem to see it? It's because they desire to see God. They want to see God. They have this burden to see God. Daniel said in verse 7, I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. As great a congregation as Fletcher First Baptist Church is, and as fine as the young people we have, I believe they're the best. Don't expect everyone to walk as Daniel walked. It may be a lonely walk. It may be a walk of solitude. But you can rest assured Jesus Christ will be there all the way along. But the rally is this morning, this walk is for everyone. Everyone can have it. Everyone can experience. Everyone can be like Daniel. Every person, every young person, every middle-aged and elder alike this morning can dare to be like Daniel. You say, preacher, what must I do to be like Daniel? Just yield to him. Just submit to him. Just give him first place in your life. Just come to this altar and say, God, I'm tired of doing it my way. I'm tired of making my own decisions. I want to walk with you and trust you, and I dare to be as Daniel, serving you this morning. Everyone can be. It's the solitude of Daniel. Daniel's walk. When all the nation of Babylon bowed to that golden image of King Nebuchadnezzar, we find three that did not bow. When they said that you can't pray, that we're taking prayer out of school and we're taking prayer out of the nation and you can't make supplication for 30 days, it was Daniel and Daniel alone that went up to his room and opened the windows and prayed to God. It's a solitude of Daniel. It may not be popular, but it serves to serve God, pays to serve God. You may be ridiculed, but God will reward you. You may be mocked, but you can rest assured that God will manifest himself in your life. You may be the only one that has a burden, but I can assure you this morning, when you get under that great burden, under that great trouble of God, this one like Burl will come and appear to you. Dare to be like Daniel. We see his solitude. We see his sorrow. We see his strength. And lastly, we see the significance of Daniel. He said he was greatly beloved. Daniel found favor with God. You can find favor with God this morning. Why don't you just come and ask him? Come ask him to help you. I'm going to ask the ladies, Phil, come and play something and sing a song, whatever the Lord lays on their heart. Let's all stand. Whatever your need is this morning, this altar's open. Why don't you dare to be like Daniel? Ask God to strengthen you. Ask God to help you on your walk. Ask God, even though in your solitude, he'll be that friend that'll never leave, that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Father, we want to thank you this morning for the word of God. Lord, I pray that you had placed this great burden for your people upon us, this church, upon this congregation. Lord, that you'd strengthen us, and God, you'd help us. And God, we could see you mighty, high, and exalted. Lord, I bless you. God, I pray you'd speak to your people. Maybe that one here that's lost, Father, that sinner that's never been saved, I pray this would be the morning that they'd come and give their heart and their life to you, Lord. You know the needs. God, I pray they'd be receptive. Well, thank you for all you do, all you accomplish. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As these ladies sing, whatever your need is, this altar's open. Bless his name. Thank you, ladies. Thank you for being here this morning. We have a lot of visitors. Thank you for coming. We're so honored you're here. And we ask you that if you need to speak to us about the being a member, or you want to join, or have any questions about our church, you can see any of our members on the new fellowship or the new membership committee. They'll come down. Natalie, Chris, Josh, Sister Gail, Brother Gary. Maybe you have a question about our church, what we believe. You can come and ask any of these good, fine folks. I want to thank Daughters of Calvary for being with us this morning. I believe they brought some CDs. So if you'll go by and bless them, maybe buy a CD, tape, whatever it is out there they have, I know they'd appreciate that. Brother Jason, you got a message?
The first being that we will be taking up a love offering for Brother Charles Connor and Miss Mary Connor. You know, recently he had open heart surgery, and we will be taking up money to help him next week. So if y'all would pray about what the Lord would have you to do in that regard. Also, this is for this evening service. We will be meeting here about 5:15. That's youth choir and anybody who's willing to help us with the youth choir. I do want anybody who is going to be helping us to sing, and please as many as we can, come out, and we're going to run through a couple of songs at 5:15 this evening. So if y'all would come tonight.
Thank God for anointing the service, Brother Gunn, my wonderful message for the Daughters of Calvary. We enjoy that so very much. Thank God for our youth. I'm not going to be able to be here tonight. Please come out. The reason I won't be able to be here, my granddaughter got saved. We're going to be baptized tonight at my son's church at Bethel Baptist Church in Spruce Pine. God's moving in that church. In the last 100 days, that was last Sunday, 100 people got saved. Then Sunday night, 2 more, and then Monday at the school, 1 more. Then someone showed up in my son's driveway Tuesday, another one. Then Wednesday night, 2 more, and then Thursday night, someone came in my, God just moving. And so got to be there for my granddaughters. She thought she was saved as a young girl. A lot of people here, Meg, thought you got saved as a young person. Maybe you did, but if you did, God still saves my granddaughter. She's like 26, 27 now. So that's where I'll be tonight. So thank you so much, Brother Gunn. Let's pray and thank God for all he's doing. Don't forget our new membership committee. And Brother Chris has a word.
I just want to remind everyone real quick of our fall festival. It's going to be on October 26th from 3 to 6 p.m. out here in the front parking lot. So we're going to have games and inflatables and candy and snacks and live music and cakewalks. So just want to make sure everybody knows they're invited, but this is also an outreach for us. So if you would, invite your neighbors, bring some kids from the neighborhood, invite some friends. We've got some cards out in the vestibule if you'll grab some and just hand them out. But also we're going to need some volunteers to help pull this together. So there's a sign-up sheet out in the lobby in the wall rack by Becky's office. So if you want to help, we'd love to get the youth involved, as many youth as possible, to get involved and help help bring in our neighbors and make them feel welcome and hopefully invite them to church. So.
Thank you, Brother Chris. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, for the service today, how you have anointed the singing, the preaching. Most of all, Father, you have been so blessed to be here in power and anointing and your precious word. And I want to thank you for that. Lord, I thank you, God, for the move you have put upon many churches. Lord, let it be here. I know, Father, we're candidates. Help us, Father, to meet the conditions, to meet the separation you expect us to have. Then, Father, you've done it here before. You've saved dozens and hundreds before, and I pray that you'll do it again. Lord, you can do it. We can. Just keep us out of your way and have your way in their lives and in their hearts. And thank you for all you've done, what you've done this morning, what you're going to do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.